Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide, and I am thrilled to have Lena here with me today. Lena, welcome.
Thank you, and I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so happy to have you. So to start out with, tell us a bit about you.
Well, let's see. A little bit about me is I always start with I am from New York originally, because no matter where else I've lived around the country or around the world, once a New Yorker, always a New Yorker.
Yes, so, I understand that.
Yeah. So that's me. And I always say I've had a million first days on the job. I worked as a temp for a very long time while I was pursuing an acting career. Uh-huh. And having lived in so many different places in my life, I've just had so many different varied experiences. And I started really paying attention at one point in my life to the idea that, oh, I can actually kind of move these experiences in a particular direction if I choose to do that. Uh-huh. And so I started really noticing things like that and taking opportunities. And ultimately, I think a big turning point for me is that I realized one day that if, you know, I had lived in three different states and I've had a million different jobs and so many different friends of so many different types of people, which is such a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I still wasn't living the life ultimately that I really wanted to live. And so I thought, oh, you know what? If my life were a science experiment, I would be the only constant.
Ah.
So now it's time to stop looking on the outside of and start looking on the inside.
Uh-huh.
And that really put me on this journey of self-exploration, or as I call it, self-excavation.
And uh-huh. That's a good term.
Coaching. And yeah, because it's like that digging up stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so I got myself into a year-long coaching program, and I really did a lot of that deep dive work. And the things that started to happen for me in my life, I got to a point, as a lot of coaches do, I think, where I decided I really want to pay this forward. I really want to help other people create the kinds of outcomes in their lives that they're really looking for and are not quite figuring out how to achieve.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So I know that you had a really profound experience in your life that kind of kicked you into all of this. So tell us about that event.
Okay. Well, I was facing a very big birthday, as apparently any birthday that ends in an O is very big. So, and I always say, oh, so I decided that I didn't want to be alone in Los Angeles facing this birthday. So I did what any really bright person would do. I went to France.
Okay.
So I didn't want to be alone in Los Angeles. So I took myself to the most romantic country, probably, arguably, in the world. And I think that that was part of it too. And part of what I did in those couple of weeks that I was there is that I thought I booked one of those tours with a company where you can either hike or walk or bike or do one of those things. And they have a little van that comes in the morning, gets your luggage, takes it to the next location. And then you get yourself to that location during the day. Okay, great. So I thought that I booked a tour of lavender fields, and lavender fields grow in flat areas of ground. And I didn't really read all the itinerary until I was on the plane. So somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean, I realized that I had actually booked a tour of vineyards that grow on the side of mountains.
Oh no.
So all of a sudden, and I did have hiking boots. I knew all of that. I had been doing some hiking at home mm-hmm. to prepare for what I thought was walking. Mm-hmm. But there's a total, you know, I'm being faced with a result now that I just had not planned for ahead of time.
Right.
So the first day, couldn't find the trailhead to leave town. Searched for hours and hours. I had my map. I was reading my map. I was near the forest. I saw trees, but I couldn't find the markers. Uh-huh. And I mean, you know, that's something to think about for people who are listening. Like a lot of times when we're missing something in life, it's because we're not seeing the markers. And so this mm-hmm. was very literally an experience where I could not find the marker that told me this was the top of the trail.
Wow.
Hours and hours and hours of searching, literally. And I finally took myself back into town. I sat down on the curb of uh-huh. a traffic circle uh-huh. in this small town. I remember there was some kind of monument behind me uh-huh. in the circle, and all these cars are whizzing around me, and I'm sobbing.
Oh no. Were there any people around that could help you?
Well, not that I thought there were. And yet, so in that moment where I was sitting on the curb with cars surrounding me, that's when I finally really had a moment of clarity. And the thought came to me, which I really thought someone was speaking to me in my ear. It was that mm-hmm. clear, but it was a mm-hmm. thought that said, okay, great. You know what? You're sitting here. I was calling myself a failure. I was calling myself all these things. I started to say, you didn't think about this properly. You didn't plan for this. You blah, blah, blah. All of the right. stuff, you are incapable. That was ultimately, to use your term that I love so much, my mind cluck.
Yeah. Was, and that's loud mind cluck at that point.
That is loud and incapable, incapable, incapable. Yeah. What are you doing? Incapable. And so, so in that moment, the angel message came to me and said, well, okay, here you are. You can keep doing what you're doing. You can keep crying. You can keep calling yourself incapable. You can keep doing all these things. Let's get back on the plane and you can tell that story for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Or you can calm down, dry your tears, understand that there's something in this that is happening for you, mm-hmm. figure it out and go from there. You've got 10 seconds to decide. Go.
Wow.
And I literally had never had that thought before in uh-huh. my life that uh-huh. I had a choice.
Yeah.
Not only about something that I was going to do, but here's the bigger thing that I've taken out into the rest of my life with me. I had a choice about how I wanted to think about something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm here. I got the boots on. Might as well try to figure this out. So
yeah.
I got up and I waited for traffic to stop and I walked. And you know, speaking about other people around, mm-hmm. I thought, I spoke a little French. I still speak a little French. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like I could really approach someone in that language mm-hmm. and be understood. So, but I walked over, I saw that there was like a little park over in this little town. And I walked over and I was sitting in the park, but now my thought was open. Uh-huh. Now my thought was, how is this going to transpire?
Right.
And all of a sudden I heard two people speaking English.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I went over to them and they were very lovely. And they were, I will never forget them, my angels. They were a couple who were there on their honeymoon. They were uh-huh. from Boston. And I said, and I told them my predicament and they invited me in. They said, you were going to come. You're going to share our picnic with us.
Aww.
We're going to help you figure this out. We have a car. We'll take you anywhere you want to go.
Oh, wow.
And so they actually drove me to the location that I was mm-hmm. supposed to have hiked to uh-huh. that morning, right? Uh-huh. And at first, I didn't want to do that. And because the thought came, fraud.
Yeah.
Right? You're supposed to be hiking.
Mind cluck. That's more mind cluck.
More, exactly. So incapable, fraud, right? So, yeah. But here was also, that was mind cluck number two, but here was angel message number two, mm-hmm. which was, and I said, oh, I can't do that. I'm supposed to hike. Maybe you can just help me find the trailhead. But, you know, I would, and I said to them, I would think that I was a fraud. And she said to me, literally, you can think whatever you want, mm-hmm. but we're not leaving you.
Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
It's nice, but also yeah. just think about that.
Oh, as, yeah. No, it's so powerful. Right? It's so, powerful.
As we go out in the world thinking we're all alone, I personally have to figure this out. But that was reinforcement number two. I get to think whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you could say, well, I looked at the situation and I successfully solved it by finding people who speak English, who had a car, who were willing to help me. Like that's a success.
That is a success. And that's, I think that's even more for me though. I think that's more of a successful life lesson to really have taken away. Okay. I could have figured it out. I could have found the trail, you know, marker, and the rest of the story turns out there were more angels there. And I did wind up hiking. I wound up meeting up with a couple who were actually doing the same tour that I was doing. And so the three of us hiked together, but they had a lot of experience hiking in other countries. And I learned from them. And after about a day, I did learn how to look at find the markers. I did learn mm-hmm. how to hike. I did learn how to take care of myself and do all of that. But the taking it forward lesson in that moment was, oh no. Once I've opened my thought mm-hmm. to knowing that I don't have to figure this out in my own head, mm-hmm. what will be presented to me? And that's just been worth its weight in gold to me, is being open for what is right for me.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me because I think of it as like signs, you know? So it's like you're in a situation. So, you know, once you got yourself together and got to the park, your first sign was like, oh, they're speaking English. Your next sign is, oh, they're going to offer you food and help you like re-equilibrate a bit. Then their next sign is like, we have a car. And so some of it is actually letting go and saying, you know what? I'm just going to let it come to me instead of I'm going to kill myself trying to do it.
Yeah.
I think that can be really powerful when anytime we're in a situation where you just think, oh my gosh, I'm stuck. Like I can't do anything. And then it's like, if you start to watch for the little signs, the little cracking open of the door, and then you can push the door the rest of the way through and you put yourself back in motion.
Yeah, exactly. And also, isn't that the beauty of manifesting though, right? I could say, I don't know how I'm trying to, I know what I'm thinking in this moment about.
Yeah. Just like talk it out. It's okay.
Yeah. I heard someone say, a teacher say once that sometimes manifesting means if it's a thing, right? Sometimes manifesting means you can just go buy that thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is a way to manifest something. And I remember thinking, oh no, I thought manifesting was just supposed to appear. But even to this point, manifesting means being open to creating this experience, however the universe is guiding you to create it for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I was doing the opposite. I was saying, like what that teacher said, I was saying, oh, no, I'm supposed to be making this happen myself.
But right. And the truth is, like, you did. You just did it in a different way.
Exactly.
Like, I know manifest is a really big buzzword right now, and I think it can be really confusing because people can think like, oh yeah, I'm just going to sit at home and I'm going to think about this great job I want to have. Right. And then it's just going to be handed to me.
Right.
And I really think that manifesting is, like you're saying, it's opening yourself up to seeing the signs and then taking action on them.
Right. Right.
And if you're doing that, and it doesn't really matter what the, you know, what the goal is or what you're trying to accomplish. It's really about being open-minded enough to see that there are a bazillion ways to accomplish almost everything. I mean, some things there aren't, but for many things in life. So like, for example, with your trip, like you could have gone back to the airport. You could have gone back to where you stayed and said, how am I going to do this? You could have called the company that was running the trip. Yeah. You know, there's a million different ways to do it. And the way that got presented to you was you're like, okay, I'm going to walk over to this park. And then you heard English. And so that was your avenue. And you had calmed yourself enough and opened your mind enough to like pursue that avenue. So you right. get all the credit for like, you saw the sign, you interpreted the sign, you said, okay, I'm going to do it. And you were battling mind cluck the whole time.
And I want to go back to something that you said a little earlier. Mm-hmm. You talked about signs. Mm-hmm. And I had a huge aha moment just a couple of years ago when I realized that the phrase in the Bible says signs following, right? And so that just those two words really spoke to me because it's, you know, to your point about some people think that manifesting means just sitting and waiting for something to fall on their lap. Mm-hmm. I used to think that I had to wait to do something until I had a sign that it was going to be the right thing to do. But yeah. signs following really spoke to me. And it said, you know, and in this example, it was like, well, yeah, you're not going to know that this trip is the right thing for you to do unless you get on a plane and you go there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then the signs of confirmation will come to you. Then then all of it will be opened up to you. If I had just sat on my couch and thought, oh, well, that might be a cool thing to do. Let me wait to know whether that's the right thing for me to do. Right. Because at the beginning of it, sitting on that curb, I had done something terribly wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is where my mind goes with what you just said is that, so I really believe that to grow personally, you have to challenge yourself. Yeah. And sometimes we can bite off more than we might really be able to be ready to chew in that moment. Mm-hmm. But it actually presents opportunity. So, you know, when you booked that trip and then you got there and realized what it was, like you could say, okay, I bit off more than I can chew and I'm out of here. Yeah. And instead, like you rose to the occasion and you gained so much from doing that. And so what I'm thinking of for our audience is that if you're thinking about like, do I take a stab at this? Do I try? Do I book a trip that maybe is a little bit beyond my ability in hiking and navigating maps and, you know, whatever? Right. Or do I do like the really safe thing? And my message is every time you push yourself, even if you're just pushing yourself a little bit, it gives you an opportunity for growth and an opportunity to test your, like to practice looking for the signs that will guide you to the result that you want.
Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree. And that's, it's in that moment, it's that little moment that is really so pivotal because it's, that's where our patterns come up. You know, when we have the urge to, when we have the thought of, I've never done this before, this is beyond me. Mm-hmm. Can I? Maybe not, probably not, whatever those thoughts are that are going on for us, that's the pivotal moment where we get to create a different outcome for ourselves.
Yeah, create change. I mean, what came to me as you were saying that is that mind cluck is actually like a signal. You know, so mind click is a signal that there's something you need to pay attention to. So like if you're telling yourself you're not capable, well, that's something to pay attention to, because that might connect to a deep-seated old belief that isn't serving you well. I mean, there's all kinds of things that that can connect to. And the only way to silence that kind of mind cluck is to understand, where does that really come from? So often where it comes from is actually an experience in childhood where somebody very important to you gave you the impression, whether they said it or not, they gave you the impression that you were not capable. So you assumed that belief. And then that belief comes up when you're challenged. And so instead of being like, yeah, I can figure it out, the first message you give yourself is, I'm not capable. That's because your brain's trying to protect you. It's saying, you know what? Let's not take a chance on this. We're going to have to work hard. We don't want to work hard. The brain wants easy. But if you push yourself, you know, so you were able to be like, okay, I'm not going to listen to this mind cluck. I'm going to keep going on this trip. I'm going to figure it out. So mind cluck gave you an opportunity to be like, what are you doing? And you were actually asked, is it yes? Is it no? And so I don't know that, you know, I don't think that mind cluck always does that, but I think any kind of mind cluck is a signal. There's something going on in your brain that you need to, that if you pay attention to, it will be rewarding.
Right. It's a signal and it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And that's, there's so much richness in that. If we can just allow ourselves to see in that moment, you know, in that moment of the urge of going back to doing what we've always done. Okay, wait, let me just sit with this for a second. You know, I was willing to sit on that curb. That's why, you know, the message was, you got 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like that was really a gift for your brain to give you.
My angels were there that day, right? And then, you know, and what's interesting about that, and I always, I call it angel messages, right? And that was just the first one that opened up my thought. And then the angels who were the couple in that park, and then the angels who were the other couple, you know, these were, this particular type of tour, there was no hard start and no hard stop. Like it wasn't a group tour, like we think of tours, right? I got to go and I started the tour that day because it happened to work with my schedule. Well, so did that couple. There's a chance that there might not have been anyone else doing that exact tour. So they were my second set of angels. So it's so interesting to me though, too, that on this trip, my angels came in coupled pairs. Which was beautiful.
Well, and for anybody listening, like one of the things, I think angels is one of those words, like I totally know what you mean and I can sense that as well. But for anyone listening who's like, yeah, I don't relate to angels, call it whatever you want to call it. It doesn't really matter. You could call them guides. You could say, you know, fortuitous encounters, whatever. So don't be fixated on like, I've got to find my angels or I don't believe in angels or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's really just about in any situation, look for the signs. So the signs that help guide you to where you want to get to. And in my experience, they're always there. I mean, I don't think, I think the only time when there aren't things that can change an outcome is when you're going to die. but I mean, and maybe there are even then, I don't know, having not been through that experience, but at least in this lifetime, but I think that I really can't think of a situation where you can't look for the opportunity to either assist you in moving out of where you are or to help you get what you want. I mean, I think there's always something. And being open to it is really key, because I think most of us were set in our way. I mean, this is just human condition. This is part of how the brain works. It's like, we're set in our ways. We do what's comfortable. We do what's easy for us, et cetera. And when you try to push beyond that, it can be very intimidating, no matter how big your push is. And so I really like that you said opening your mind. That's another trick with Mind Clock is instead of just listening to it, be curious about it. Where does it come from? That's how you can flip it right away. Cause you can be like, why are you saying that to me? You know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You just use the phrase set in our ways. And that's so interesting to me because that is something that I think historically I've heard very attached to older people and, you know, older being, I don't know, over 40, let's just call it adults, right? Mature people. As far as a lot of times when people talk about wanting to date or be in a relationship or something, oh, well, you know, he's just set in his ways, she's set in her ways, whatever it is. But when you said that, I thought about, no, a lot of us get set in our ways from our childhood because we're raised to believe that whatever is happening in our childhood experience is the way it happens, right? And so we get set, I'm thinking of a big bowl of Jello, right? And we kind of get set very early on. So it's really not a maturity issue at all.
No, it isn't, because it's really about we learn certain ways of doing things, and this becomes our filter through which we experience life. Mm-hmm. And some of the what ends up, I mean, I believe that all mind clock comes from a belief about oneself. And those beliefs get developed, they can get developed at a very, very early age. And they're developed in a context when we didn't actually have the ability to really understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. And if you understand where a belief began and then you understand the context of it, you're like, of course, when I was that age, like that's a totally logical belief to have.
Yeah.
But then when you compare what was the context when you formed the belief versus what is your context now, you'll recognize. So like, say as a little kid, you're like, I can't tie my shoes. And so that means that I'm not capable. And so you, that's what you've decided. Probably nobody told you that, but you decided that. Mm-hmm. And then anytime you're confronted with something that's difficult, your mind cluck is, I'm not capable. Mm-hmm. But if you can go to the first event, the earliest event you can remember, and you can say, oh, well, sure. When I was, you know, when I was learning to tie my shoes, like that was really hard. And no one told me, like, it's not that you're not capable. It's just that it takes a bit of practice, you know, to learn how to do this. So if somebody had reassured you and helped you prevent from developing this belief that you're not capable, you wouldn't have carried it. But that didn't happen for whatever reason. So you carry this belief. Yeah. But now you're sitting on a curb in France telling yourself you're not capable when you had a bazillion options that you could have executed at any moment. And thank goodness you were able to break through the mind cluck and be like, no, I do have a choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is key about mind cluck, is recognizing it's just something that you're telling yourself. It's not fact. And it's a belief that got created in a context. And if you can look at your context, step outside of yourself for a moment and be like, okay, am I really not capable? If you were incapable, to me, it would mean you couldn't speak, you couldn't move, you couldn't think. But you could do all of those things. So you were absolutely capable.
Mm-hmm. It's also
just another way to look at it.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. You're making me think, and you're making me remember that it's really kind of funny that that was the word that was coming to me, that I was incapable, because I was always called capable by other people all the time. You know, I was smart girl, right? Such a smart girl, highly capable, right? And I acted for very many years, and I will never forget this one play that I did. And the reviewer said, and a very capable performance by Lena Ehrenberg.
Mm.
And so for that to be the word that I'm saying, I'm incapable, but also as an actress, I remember thinking, capable? Who wants to be capable? What a terrible review. But they were acknowledging something that's inherent to me. And that's right. the thing that my mind cluck tried to turn on me, you know? Yeah. So there, that's so interesting though, to think about that. And for your audience as well, like, pay attention to really what is this messaging that you're getting that is holding you back. And when you can really separate it from here,
yes,
you can really start to look at it. You know, I always say it's so useful. Get it down on paper. It's a sentence. It's a sentence. Get it down on paper and let it be a sentence and let it be separate from you so you can have some perspective and distance.
Right. Because as long as it's a part of you, you can't. You just feel it. But when you can get that separation, then you can look at it and be like, what am I talking about? Of course I'm capable. Right. You know? Yeah. So, you know what? We have totally blown through our time. Like, this is really fun conversation.
I love it.
So I just want to ask before we sign off, is there any last piece of advice or wisdom or any last thing you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you. This has just been wonderful. And I was so not even aware of the time. What I want to share with your audience is just really, really take to heart that you can have the relationships that you want in your life. You can have the connections that you want to have in your life. You can have all of these things when you give yourself the ability to know that your past does not dictate your future. There is a way for you to create change that you want in your life. And that might come through you, sitting down and really being thoughtful about it. It might come from reading books that can teach you how to do that. It might come from, listening to conversations that can help you do that. It might come from a variety of different ways. Just be open to that and just know, carry in you the knowledge that you can create whatever kind of outcome you're looking for in your life. I really believe that.
I believe that too. And I will add on to that, that if you find yourself kind of running into the same wall again and again, get help. Mm-hmm. So you can get help from trusted people in your life. You can reach out to a coach like me or Lena. There's a lot of them out there. You can work with a therapist. You can work with a hypnotherapist. There's all kinds of ways to break through your own mind cluck. And I really maintain that mind cluck just makes life harder and it prevents us from getting the relationships we want, the jobs we want, the whatever. Starting to become the master of your own mind cluck is a really good thing to do.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lena, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been wonderful. Thank you, Maria.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right. To our audience, thanks a lot and have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free strategy session with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a fabulous day.